In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, he finishes his letter to the Thessalonians, and he gives a number of exhortations. But in verse 25, while he reminds the people about the faithfulness of God, in verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, he also will do it. Yet in verse 25, the Apostle Paul gives this request, brethren, pray for us. And it's that verse I want to leave with you. The Apostle Paul has already given them exhortation in verse 17, to pray and to pray without ceasing. But yet he doubles this request when he says, brethren, pray. Pray for us. And with the Word of God open before us, let's just briefly ask the Lord to bless these few truths to our hearts tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for what our ears have heard and what our eyes have seen. We thank thee for this verse in Scripture. Write this truth upon our hearts. Make us to be those that pray for thy servants as they go out to serve thee. To pray for the lands in which they serve. To pray that thou wouldst be glorified in the salvation of precious, never dying souls. Do a work tonight that lasts for eternity. Use me simply as an instrument. Provide me with all that I need tonight. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. In the merits of Christ, I ask these things. Amen. I want to begin my comments by telling you a story about a man called William, who lived a number of years ago. William, as a young man, was a school teacher, and he loved reading the journals of the famous explorer James Cook. And young William, he heard about how James Cook would come across tribe after tribe. And young William, being a Christian, he knew that these tribes have never had anybody tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ and how they need to be saved and how they can be saved. And so this young man, William, he began to speak to other Christians and other friends, and he believed and was clearly convinced in his own mind and heart and convicted with a burden that it was a duty of all Christians to seek the spread of the gospel among all the nations. Young William spoke to a friend of his called Andrew and told him about this. And Andrew simply, while he was a godly man, he said, if the Lord makes windows in heaven, might this thing be. And what Andrew was simply saying was, look, the world's so big and the heathen are so dark, only if the Lord opened up the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing beyond what this world has ever seen or could ever see, would it ever happen that the heathen would ever hear the gospel and come to know Christ as Savior. And while young William was perhaps disappointed and discouraged that others were not convicted with the burden that he had, yet he never gave up. And he published a manifesto at the age of 31 on Isaiah 54. And in that chapter, God reveals his desire that the gospel goes into all the nations. And this young man, William, had two headings in his missionary manifesto. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Young William never gave up the conviction of his heart. And continuing to pray over it and continuing to speak to others about it, others began to get the vision, including his good friend Andrew. And his friend Andrew, one day thinking about the abundance of lost souls in India, he turned around and said to William, there's a gold mine in India. That is referring to the souls of people. But yet that mine just seems as deep as the centre of the earth. And William replied, I will go down that mine, but you must hold the rope. William, known today as William Carey, the father of modern day missions, he was convicted in his heart that people needed to hear the gospel. One person has said that some can go to the work of the mission field, such as the Lord's servants that we had on the Lord's day. Many of us can give to the work of the mission field, but all of us can pray for the work of the mission field. And the great Apostle Paul, who was a missionary, in the work that he was involved in, he had the same heart that William Carey had whenever he said this verse, "Brethren, pray for us." And why do I want to encourage you to pray for the Hamilton family and to pray for the Macaulay family? I leave with you just three very simple points. The first is that it's right to pray. You think about the Lord's Prayer, and have you ever asked yourself, why is it Jesus Christ taught his disciples not to pray, "My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and give me this day my daily bread, and lead me not into temptation"? Why did Jesus Christ not teach his disciples to pray like that, but instead teach them to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil"? Why did Christ teach his people to pray in the plural? Because Christ was teaching his people that they should not just pray for themselves, but they should pray for the people of God. And if you turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, in chapter 59, you and I will see that Jesus Christ himself is looking for intercessors, those who will pray for others. In Isaiah 59, after being told in the second part of verse 14 that truth is fallen in the street, and in verse 15, the beginning of it, that truth faileth, we read in verse 16 regarding God himself. "And he saw that there was no man," that is, God saw that there was no man, "and wondered that there was no intercessor." The work that's being spoken of in this chapter was clearly in need. Truth was fallen in the street. Truth was failing. There was a great need for the work of God to advance. And yet God was looking down from heaven on his people and he wondered, why is there no intercessor? God was amazed that his people, those who were his, were not praying for a nation that greatly needed God. If you want to turn over to the book of Ezekiel in the chapter 22, God is speaking again. He's speaking again about a land that is in great need of God. Ezekiel in chapter 22, in the verse 30, God says, "And I have sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I find none." Now, those are well-known words, but yet have you ever noticed? God is looking for two things. God is looking for one to stand before the land, one who will preach the message of God to the people, but God is also looking for one to stand before me. God is looking for one to stand before him. Will stand before him and pray for the land. And yet God sadly says he found none. Some can go to the work of the mission field, many can give to the work of the mission field, but all of us can pray for the work of the mission field. And so here the Apostle Paul, he was the one who exhorted those in Thessalonica, "Brethren, pray for us. Pray for me and all those that are doing the work of the missionary. Pray for us." Because it's right to pray. And notice with me a second truth. Not merely is it right to pray, but it's needful to pray. There are 9 occasions that I can think of in Paul's letters whereby he exhorts people to pray for him. Paul was a spiritual giant, described as the greatest missionary this world has ever known. And yet the Apostle Paul, the spiritual giant, the theologian who wrote the book of Romans, he was the one who asked that people would pray for him because it was needful. He would ask that he would have boldness to speak. He asked that people would pray that he would know how to speak, what to say, what not to say, that he would have opportunities given to him by God, that his ministry would even be accepted by the people among whom he served. He was the one who saw the need for God's people to pray. So not merely was it right for them to pray for this great missionary, but it was needful that they would pray for this great missionary. And how much more, even for the families that we have had set before us in the Lord's Day and again this evening, they have their needs. They have the needs for their children. They have needs in learning a language. They have emotional needs, even as they will leave their families. They will have spiritual needs, physical needs. There will be times of discouragement. There will be times perhaps of homesickness and loneliness, times where they are opposed by Satan, times perhaps where disunity will come, times when they need opportunities given to them. And they have many needs. They need God to step in to bless them, to keep them walking close with Him. They need God to bless the labor of their hands, the speaking of Christ and presenting of Him before the people. They need our prayers. Let us never forget that we're not to pray simply, "Lord, give me this day my daily bread," but "Lord, give us everything that we need. Lord, give us, give me, but give the missionaries too. Lead not simply me away from temptation in the paths of righteousness, but Lord, lead the missionaries too. Lead us." You know, it's right to pray. It's needful to pray. And finally, it's powerful to pray. Paul was the one who knew that prayer is no vain thing in the Lord. Oh, it's true that Paul was one who just spoke about the faithfulness of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, and praise God that God is faithful." God is the one who keeps his promises. God is the one who will build his church. But yet that does not take away the responsibility that we have to pray. You think about the occasion in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And there you have the people of God, and as an army, they're sent out to fight against the enemy. But Moses goes up to a mount, and there he raises his hands and he prays. And of course, Moses is a picture of Christ there who prays for us. That's the ultimate picture. But was Aaron and Hur not there also? Is there not a lesson there for all of us too? We're to be there praying. Because where there was much prayer, there was much blessing. Where there was much prayer, there was much advancement. But when prayer failed, the advancement failed. Men and women, let us remember that it's right for you and I to pray. Pray for ourselves, to pray for our families, to pray for the work here, to pray for the Lord's servants. It's right to pray. Christ teaches us to pray always in the plural. Give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. But also, it's needful to pray. The great giant in terms of theology and missionary work and zeal and spiritual walk with God, the Apostle Paul himself, needed the prayers of God's people, asking congregation after congregation after congregation, ninefold, "Brethren, pray for us." How much more do our missionaries need the prayers of God's people? It's right to pray, it's needful to pray, and be encouraged, it's powerful to pray. You may feel that you're nothing, you're no spiritual giant, neither am I, but the Lord is the one who hears the prayers of us. We are his children. The Lord is the one who's promised that he'll answer everything according to his will, and he'll answer for his glory. We read in the book of Proverbs that the Lord delighteth. He delighteth in the prayers of his people. You and I can delight God tonight by praying for his servants. May the Lord help us never to forget it. Let us delight the one who loved us and sent his son for us, and pray for the servants whom he has chosen to go and to present his name before those that are lost.